CliffCentral.com. Venicia, that's an interesting name, says, I'm so happy that Liad and Nolo are there along with Ben and Sia. Makes me miss Gareth less. Nolo, hope you feel better, girl. Can't have an injured ninja. Take care, girl. Take care. Mr. Schmangles, hi guys. If Ben decides to go into politics, I will vote for that miserable bastard. I think that those thieving arseholes will have Ben's foot up their crack. Start by sticking foot up the ass of Juju or Bata Bile Whiskey Dlamini. Mr. Schmangles, I agree. I've just got to find time in the schedule.
Of course you agree.
I've got to find time in the schedule, and it won't be easy. Mm. But thank you for your message anyway.
You know, there's a lot on your plate, Ben. You're doing a lot. You're binging a lot.
I know. I've just got this new TV show as well.
Which one?
Well,
Queen of the South.
So watching Queen of the South.
You know, part of the things that I did over the weekend as well was my niece finally came out of hospital on Thursday.
Oh, that's good news, yeah. And that's been a while.
This is the newborn Prem.
Yes. And
Premie.
She spent, we were counting actually, a month and 5 days in hospital since her birth. She was born on the 4th of September. And so when she came out on Thursday, I was out of town. So I went over to see her on Saturday and I ended up spending the night there and left yesterday. But part of those 2 days, there were like all of us there. We were spending time with the baby and also got stuck into this Netflix rabbit hole that you were talking about, Ben.
Quite simple.
I don't know how many different documentaries I watched between, like, you know, Lady Gaga has a documentary. There's a documentary about everything these days. But even also got sucked into the Joseph Fritzl documentary.
Oh, Joseph Fritzl.
You do give yourself
very
some nightmare potential.
Yeah.
No, but doesn't this fascinate you folks?
Yeah, it always has.
It was just, and for... If you don't know about Joseph Fritzl, very long story short, he's a European man who...
Austrian.
He's a monster. Yeah. He's a monster.
He's just...
He kept his daughter
very mild,
in a basement underground.
For 24 years.
And fathered children with
his
her.
His very own daughter kept her in the dungeon. This soundproof dungeon had 7 children with her. And over the...
Seven?
7, yeah. Over the course of the 24 years, what he would do every time they fathered children together was that he would force the child, her name was Elizabeth, he would force Elizabeth to write a note. And the note would be along the lines of, yes, mother and father, you know that I've run away because I don't want to be around you anymore, but I'm incapable of looking after this child. Please look after Thomas for me. And would leave the child, you know, this 3-month-old child, as soon as the child was finished breastfeeding, in a little basket on the front step with this letter written in Elizabeth's handwriting. So people wouldn't really think this is odd, per se.
And Joseph's wife, I think her name was Martha, she didn't know...
Rosemary.
She didn't know what was going on at all over all these years.
She goofed.
Did she not hear noises?
Well, this whole dungeon was soundproof, and that for me I can, you know, look past. But how do you not go to a certain corner in your house for 24 years? How?
No, I don't understand.
That is what makes me suspicious. It gives me a bit of a Camille Cosby vibe. You can't say you didn't know anything. But yeah, they fathered 7 children together. There were so many telltale signs. They would go on holiday without Rosemary, the wife. And you know, now Joseph Fritzl's friends would say, oh, perhaps it was suspicious that he would buy clothes for a young woman. Or the fact that there were tenants on the property and no one was allowed to go near the dungeon. Well, isn't that a bit of a sign? Mm. And there was supposedly a dog on the property that would always be clawing away at this dungeon door. And no one thought, like, what has this dog so intrigued? But anyway, after 24 years, what finally set Elizabeth and the 2 remaining children free was that there was one child there who was finally, like, horribly sick, going in and out of consciousness. And finally, Joseph gave in and said, you know what, this child has to go to the hospital. The idiots really didn't think this through, thankfully, because when the child goes to hospital and was being attended to by doctors, the child was 18 years old at the time, no medical records, the child was not dealing well with seeing other humans because, I mean,
they were all they were all sensitive to light.
That's all they knew, yeah.
They had these sort of really pale, sickly skins.
And so thankfully, that's how the children were released. But anyway, to say that in the midst of the good times and the family moments that I had, I made then all my siblings watch this documentary. It was intriguing. But yeah, that's a Netflix rabbit hole of note.
So do you want to hear about the kidnapping of an African billionaire?
Oh, yeah. Isn't he like the youngest billionaire?
He's the youngest billionaire in Africa.
This is no time to be thinking about your...
He's 43.
Your carnal thoughts.
Doesn't sound young, but far, 20 people at least have been arrested in connection with his kidnapping.
Wow.
His name is Mohammed Devji, and he's from Tanzania. He was reportedly, I mean, you can imagine this in a movie or in a series, snatched by a gunman while entering a hotel gym in the country's economic capital, Dar es Salaam. Well, the Interior Ministry has said that security forces are working night and day to find Devji, and that 20 people have been arrested so far. They're working on the assumption that foreigners are involved, as he was reportedly taken by white men.
But have they called Liam Neeson yet? Simple question.
This is exactly the type of movie. And Devji is the CEO of the Metal Group, which operates in some 10 countries, has interests in agriculture, insurance, transport, logistics, and the food industry. And according to the Forbes list, ranked 17 on the African richest billionaire list and is worth around $1.5 billion. He also served in Parliament and became the first Tanzanian featured on the cover of the Forbes magazine.
Okay, all good. What are his dealings in Russia? Anything?
No, doesn't say anything like that, and it's all very shady at the moment.
Okay, because if you're going to get kidnapped by whites, let's be honest.
Chances may be.
Good chance. There's going to be Russia. Russia.
Oh,
Russian.
There was a cough and a whistle there.
Well, I mean, look, it's not going to be the French. Who are the French kidnapped since the guillotine days? Not the Germans. Germans are. It's not South African whites, because that was also like ages ago. Who could the whites be?
And why would they when we've got the rich people in South Africa? In fact, these are the richest men in South Africa right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the top of the list, Nicky Oppenheimer.
What's his net worth now?
He has a net worth of $7.6 billion. He's 72 years old now.
That's a lot of old money there, huh?
Yeah, previous chairman of De Beers. His wealth was made in diamonds.
Money's so old that money's got money.
Yes, it's grown money on top of the money.
Last week we were talking about great surnames to have. Oppenheimer.
Yes, that came up, yeah.
That's a delicious
Johann
name.
Johann Rupert, net worth of $6.8 billion.
Also old money, but smart money, that money. I think as money goes, that's very smart and old.
Yes, Swiss Luxury Goods is his
So he hasn't really hasn't just mined it, he's also manufactured that money.
Yes. Chris Becker.
Even smarter, smart money.
Yes, Naspat.
Yeah. How old is he now?
64.
Wow.
Yeah, Chris has done very well.
He still has a good, 30 years.
Probably easily the smartest and richest Chris ever.
Mm.
Yeah.
I still think 64 is young enough to truly enjoy your money. Like,
of course. If you're in good health, sure.
Shouldn't be working so hard.
But the thing is with them, see, it's not about work. It's about achieving things and creating stuff. And like Kurs, just like the other people on this list, they're visionaries. I mean, people can say, but they just mine the diamonds. You know how difficult it was to get to a position where you can do that? Otherwise, everyone would be doing it. Yep. All these people are rich for a reason. They've done something... sometimes nefarious, but often a lot of times just hugely smart and well thought out.
African Rainbow Minerals, Patrice Motsepe. He's 55 years old, worth $1.9 billion. Also a mining thing. And Alan Gray, a net worth of $1.7 billion.
Is Alan Gray actually a person?
It's a person. It's not just a company.
Are you surprised?
I didn't know. I didn't know.
I had no idea.
His wealth is from his investment management firm, established in 1973.
Alan Gray, real person.
Yeah, so now you can call him Uncle Alan Gray. I mean, it's not just a company.
Next thing you tell me, Joshua Dorr actually was an old guy.
Yes.
An uncle in the furniture business.
He actually was an uncle in the furniture business.
Yeah.
And wait, are there net worths in US dollars?
Yes.
Man, oh man, oh man, that just makes it...
Yeah, see, that's what... you've got to have it in US dollars.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of money and scandals that are going on, we've got VBS looming over our heads.
Yeah, this is kind of sickening. Yeah. I know there's been heists that have been glamorized over the years, and there's obviously theft that's been glamorized over the years, but this is just disgusting on so many different levels.
So if you haven't seen bits of it yet, the forensic report entitled The Great Bank Heist details how this enormous heist allegedly occurred. The bulk of the funds stolen were allegedly for the benefit of individuals and entities related to VBS executives, including its largest purported shareholder. The latest on that is that hundreds of people have been retrenched from VBS. Mm-hmm. And also coming out now is that Ramaphosa knew about the VBS looting.
Sure.
Yeah, and didn't act. So
Cyril knows exactly what's going on because all these guys do. There is, as the saying goes, thick as thieves.
Mm. Yeah.
And tight as a ship.
Tight as a ship, thick as thieves, but ski jaunts in Alaska, fleets of luxury cars, and homes for the most sought-after locations in the country. This is where all this VBS money has gone. And you probably see a lot of this VBS money being flaunted around Instagram.
I just don't get, you know, in the Shivambu case, and you give your brother, what, like, was it 10 million of the 16 million?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that will go off without anyone noticing at all? You know, and what's the conversation between you and your brother? Yo, you know, you have really proven yourself to be such an amazing person, and I love you, bro. Give me your account number.
The EFF really needs more money. Yeah, what a coincidence. I've got lots of money.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what's not tight is the wastes of children in South Africa. Hmm? We officially...
What a segue of the week.
We were talking about running tight ships.
Okay.
I'm realizing in retrospect what that sounded like. Got it.
I'm like,
got
what
it.
About the children?
I'm awake now.
What the Michael Jackson is going on?
Oh God, I'm even blushing. So it's official. South Africa has the highest rate of obese children in the world. 13% of obese children under the age of 5 live in South Africa. And next week's National Obesity Week. This is why all of this is coming out. The various things that government can do about restricting the marketing of these processed foods to children, what UNICEF says, is they can look at restricting certain advertising on TV or media channels. So that's the one big thing that it's been blamed on.
Yep, always the low-hanging fruit, never the parenting, huh?
Yeah.
Never the parenting, because lo and behold, it's actually the parents that are the problem here. Because they are pushing, they're peddling. I mean, if you see, and again, this is obviously a kind of slightly controversial view on things, but if you see a 5-year-old who's already a chunky kind of individual, what hope do they have? They're not being taught nutrition. They're not being taught anything other than just eat this and keep quiet.
Well, it's likely their parents are obese too.
But exactly,
Leah. Obese? Did I say that?
It's so bad that they're not obese. They're overbeast.
Overbeast, yeah.
The Africans now are overbeast. That's how bad it's getting.
Because 2 out of 3 women... and almost 1 in 3 men are obese.
Okay, so now with all this obeseness, you now have to go, it's the marketing. No, honey, it's you. It's still you. And I'm sorry to be the voice of Gareth here in his absence. But you're basically just, again, taking no accountability. You wanted a child, and therefore you have to raise that child. Okay? If you battled with this whole food thing, you can't peddle this onto your child. Obesity, diabetes, all these different things. It's like a death sentence. It's like a slow-release death sentence.
Well, obviously, it relates to the onset of diabetes and heart disease and things like that. But
a multitude of things, yeah.
Personally, I haven't seen a lot of... Do you see a lot of fat kids running around?
All the time.
So
maybe I just don't hang out in places where there are kids.
That's what makes me question. Smart. It's not that I'm discrediting this, but I'm trying to... get the big picture. This is the exact same country where we still have campaigns and people who are trying to spread awareness about how there are still so many kids who just are not fed enough in the day.
Malnutrition, surviving on...
Well, that was my next point as well.
During the day, and that's it.
And we
no protein.
Have the highest number of obese children in the world.
Mm.
This is above and further than... United States of fried anything.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Also, like, lack of activity. What's happening on the sport front? Are kids getting into sport? Probably not. What are schools doing about this? Because it's such a choice. Now, I don't want to play sport. You will. You will run your ass around the block. Simple as that. Because it's all choice. It's like, no, he doesn't run because he gets short of breath. Yeah, it's called being unfit.
Mm-hmm.
You can change that by running more and you'll be full of breath.
I have to say, I'm surprised by this.
Pardon the pun, but it's this whole sugarcoating of the youths of children. No, he doesn't want to do it, so he won't do it. Okay, cool. Yeah, then this is where these things happen. It doesn't just happen overnight, like, oh my gosh, this cold front came in, and now all of a sudden our kids are the most obese in the world.
Yeah, it's been years in the making.
I think what is surprising to me is also the fact that we have quite an active lifestyle in terms of South Africans. Yes, apart from, you know, you can choose what you do outside of school, but a lot of schools have physical education culture.
I want to see the stats in this. Yeah, I really do.
Well, like, PE is just part of the system, and when it's tied into LO, yeah, like, I'm part of the school going age that had to be marked on this. You know, we had to do sports because
you went to a good school then.
It fit. No, but it's part of the general South African curriculum where life orientation, a component of it, is sports. That's why I failed sports.
Yeah, I mean, with me, it was the same thing. It was compulsory, and I think my mom only wrote a letter once, and it was justified. Mm. But the rest of the time, you knew you had to do it. Everyone knew.
You know, but at the
and
same,
even though I came last, you know, it was just, that's the way it was.
But and at the same time, we have great weather for kids to always be outside. I'm surprised by the stat. I really, really am surprised by the stat. Wow,
it's interesting.
Sorry, just a recap on Joseph Fritzl.
Mm.
Apparently, he's got like no teeth. He really is just he's a waste. Cause it's been 10 years, has
yeah? Yeah, he were. The story came to light in 2008. So it has been, you know, 10 years since we first heard about this.
Yeah, it's quite funny when you Google pictures of the house, there's like a reliable Volvo sitting outside. Like, you couldn't get any more normal, nice family.
Yes,
Nola, you want to add to the obesity conversation or the Joseph Fritzl conversation?
The obesity.
Okay, very good.
Guys, I went to a township school and they don't have sports there. If anyone plays any kind of they participate in any kind of sport, it's out of their own choice.
Yeah.
Out there on the field, it's not a thing.
Well, it's a matter of resources, essentially. Yeah. You know, if you can't get people to look after kids in a sporting sense, you're not going to offer something. It's as simple as that. It's an economy of whatever.
I'm not trying to generalize here, but what did you do after school?
I went to the dojo and I trained karate, and it was a dojo that was somewhere around.
It was under your own accord. Yeah. You made the effort. You made the sacrifice of the time.
Okay. No, besides that as well, what did you and your friends do on a Saturday morning?
I was always at the dojo. Hey, I wasn't really a friends person.
I don't think Nola's a great example here because she's got discipline. Yeah. She did things because she wanted to do things.
What I'm trying to get at is even in townships, from my experience, even on a Saturday morning, there'll be, you know, a soccer ball out in the streets and kids are around kicking that. Or even, once again, I'm not trying to make sweeping generalizations, but you'll wake up and your mother will ask you to go out and buy bread and you'll have to walk two streets away to the spaza and you get bread. And you know, it's not like this entitled or privileged society where everyone has a car or
certainly when I was at school going age, we walked everywhere, we cycled everywhere, we roller skated everywhere.
That's it. That's what shocks me.
Yeah.
You know, did you walk to school or were you driven to school?
Well, school was like 5 minutes away, so I had to walk.
And so you walked. See, that is why it's also just surprising to me. You know?
Yeah.
You go to CBD, you get off a taxi, you walk down there, you're moving around. But I guess the numbers don't lie. So this is the society we're in.
Yeah, the society we're in. This is what my next topic is.
Oh, Leanne, you're on fire this morning.
With these segues, look at you, girl.
You know, when you buy an outfit and it's really expensive, you kind of justify it to yourself by calculating how many times you'll wear it, like the cost per wear. So you see a pair of shoes and you think, is it worth 2,000 rand for these shoes, how often will I wear them? And you justify it to yourself by working out how much it would cost per time that you wear them. Well, apparently now cost per like is the new cost per wear. We're talking Instagram. Can you believe it?
That does make sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, nowadays when the true Instagrammers plan a trip, for instance, they every photo that you see them in, they're wearing a different outfit. So it's not an outfit per day or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an outfit per shot. And they're working it out as cost per like, yeah, by dividing the price of the item by the number of likes that they get and if it was worth it.
Look, it might sound crazy to most people, but this makes sense to me. I was just packing a few days ago and I started thinking about, okay, well, where am I going to be? What photos will I take? Is it worth having extra luggage? And it was, in my opinion. That makes sense.
Yeah. So they've got actual examples like new shoes, $89, not pictured because she's in a boat. And then her dress is $55, new dress from Socialite. So she got 198 likes, and then it calculates how much the dress is worth each time that she got the likes. So,
Ben, does this sound foreign to you?
No, it doesn't, because I understand what social media is. I mean, like, I've always used social media from a business side of things, not my internal person.
Mm.
But this is the world. See, this is the game we live in.
Yeah, people are actually buying outfits. In the casual poll, people were asked whether or not they went shopping just for the gram or Instagram. A resounding 81% said yes.
Many people live their lives just for what happens on the gram. Completely.
It's fascinating.
It's about documenting whatever it is that you think people are going to react to. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I'm trying in my head to form a great, scientific, powerful, more substantial justification, but there really isn't, and it is what it is. If you like to look good, and if you like knowing that other people are watching you and appreciating, and you love the attention, then it just is what it is.
Yeah, but for a lot of people, and I don't know if this, in the beginning I thought this was a novelty thing, but I think this is genuinely ingrained in who we are now. If you're talking to someone at a table, and you are present in that moment, and the phone beeps or something or other, people instantly go for the phone. They have no idea who that person is, but they would prioritize that over talking to you, someone they know. That mm-hmm. is an indication of how people only care. It's always about the virtual, it always trumps the real.
You know, it's so interesting because I know someone who permanently has their phone on silent now,
yeah,
just because of that. Like permanently, phone calls, emails, texts, notifications, whatever the case is. And he was saying that, you know what, the world will not end just because I didn't read your message in time, because I didn't even answer your call. I think calls were the biggest thing for me. But he was saying that, you know, no, it's about what I want and when I feel most comfortable doing that, because he doesn't want to be a slave to technology in that way. And I found that quite refreshing. I don't know if I'd be able to do that, but to him it just works. And if he happens to, you know, have his phone facing up when a phone call comes in, of course he'll answer it then. But for the most part, whether he's in a meeting or whether he's just having dinner, he will not be someone who's triggered instantly by that beep.
Well, it's great. I think it's a sign of maturity, because it all comes back to priorities again. You know, people treat things differently because of priorities. So if you're not being prioritized by somebody, well, that just tells you something.
Mm. I guess.
Yeah. Jeepers. So many morals. Gosh.
So many morals. Well, this pilot didn't seem to have morals.
Oh.
I love this story. I love the story.
A pilot.
So, yeah, an Air India plane. Reportedly, a big plane, I mean, it was carrying 130 passengers, reportedly hit a wall during takeoff. Mind you, this wall is 1.5 meters high, so he hit it at this low height, okay, during takeoff. He damaged the plane and the wall, obviously, but continued flying. So the plane took off from Tiruchirappalli International Airport in Tamil Nadu, India.
What's the airport called, Leanne?
Tiruchirappalli International Airport.
Yeah. Just sounds great. Between that and Teresa from Ben earlier, don't know what is better.
It hit the 1.5 meter high wall and a small tower and left bits of the plane behind. So The pilot was apparently informed about the hit, but he said, no, all the plane systems are functioning as normal and we're just going to go ahead. However, staff found parts of the plane, such as an antenna, on the ground.
Oh, no.
The plane took off just after midnight on Friday, carrying 130 passengers to Dubai. However, then, 2 hours into the flight, so 2 hours later, the plane returned to India as a precautionary measure. It landed safely at the airport in Mumbai 4 hours after takeoff. The pilot seemed to be unaware that there was a wire entangled with the landing gear, and the plane had a huge gash on its underside. Passengers were put on other flights while the crew inspected the damage. And he said it'll be fine.
It's just a scratch.
Can someone tell this guy that this is not like bumping your car into a little wall and think, yeah, no, I'll still be able to do it? Wouldn't you have freaked out if you were one of these passengers? Well, and you not even know the full story, you just hear this bump.
See, as a pilot, you got to be slightly more clinical than that.
Yeah, it goes beyond bumps, and it takes looking at the measurements and the whatever things happen
This isn't like being in a shopping aisle and you brush trolleys with someone else and go, don't worry about it.
Exactly. You're carrying 100 plus people.
You kind of look left and right to see if anyone's seen you bash your handbag against somebody's rearview mirror or their side mirror.
Yes. And you just casually just walk away. Oh, I didn't see
just
anything.
Just carry on going.
Imagine. And I'm sorry.
2 hours later, so it took 4 hours for him to actually get back onto ground safely. And there were bits of the plane, a huge gash underneath.
And I don't know how much I would trust you as a pilot, just as we're taking off and you bump into something. Now I have to fly with you as well. Oh, ho, hail to the no. Oh, no, not going to do that with you.
Also, imagine knowing when you've taken off, you felt that you've hit something. And the whole time you're sitting there anxiously thinking, are we going to be okay? Finally, you relax thinking, okay, we are. And then he says, no, we need to turn back. And you've got another 2 hours to get back.
Oh, I would.
It's a difficult thing to explain as the pilot. It's like, because obviously the civil aviation authorities.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a big deal.
No big deal.
You know what we haven't had in quite a long time?
What?
Mean tweets.
Oh, yes.
We haven't had that in a long time because people are still mean and people are still tweeting. I think these are two things that will never, ever go away for all of history. This is the Music Edition with Jimmy Kimmel.
Gwen Stefani really is the worst thing to ever happen. Period. Full stop. Hashtag, barf. Owie.
One of my employees was talking about how the chain smokers are actually pretty good and don't deserve all the hate, so I fired him.
Tiger pants too tight. Hashtag this.
Trying to decide which is worst. Maroon 5, Hitler, or Imagine Dragons.
I like some of Halsey's songs, but my God, she sings like a goat being in the ass.
Why is Jason Mraz the unofficial soundtrack for barbecues?
People say that I should be more positive. Okay, I'm positive that Luke Bryan is a horse-tooth, b-less, air-humping doofus.
Jason Derulo sucks horse.
What the f- is a Dua Lipa? Sounds like a sloppy.
The Strokes' worst piece of band ever made, period. Yeah.
Pink is aging pretty well for a pig. Thank you.
Elvis Costello is a really great artist, if you're a hipster.
Shout out to Schoolboy Q. He ugly than a for sure I am. G-Eazy is like the American cheese of cheeses, or like the boxed wine of wines. Or some other thing.
Peep the fact that Luke Combs looks like the guy who changes your oil at Jiffy Lube.
Miley Cyrus is a smelly pirate hooker.
Oh. come on, those guys more than Nickelback.
Oh.
Oh.
That's a low dog.
Ouch.
I would rather stab myself in the taint than hear another Nickelback song.
That's funny. That's how we make Nickelback songs.
Nickelback's still a thing. They really are.
I did not know.
With their nice short hairstyles. Rich Mulholland.
Hello there.
Hey, Rich. Have you ever liked Nickelback? I'm going to go with no. Have you ever had an inkling towards their ballads?
I have the faces of all Nickelback, anybody who's ever been involved, tattooed on my body.
Ah, okay. on your buttocks, obviously.
Yes, on my asshole.
Okay. Rich, I've got to say, I'm still watching your YouTube channel. I still enjoy your videos. I don't watch them as frequently because I watch so much stuff on YouTube, but the stuff's still good, man. Obviously, listening to you here and the way you translate it to the visuals is very good.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that. It's a very slow process, but I find that it's about, from what I've been told, producing content online is it's a real grind, and they say to you, don't even worry about views and things like this until you've created at least 100 pieces of content. Because what's important is not that somebody sees one of your videos, it's that when they see one of your videos, that you have enough other stuff for them to dive into. So it's a grind, but hopefully I'll get there.
Yeah, spot on, but it is. I mean, you see the guys who do have the millions and millions of views. They've just been doing it for so long. And like this just unwavering commitment to their content is pretty incredible.
Yeah. And in fact, I guess that's quite a cool segue, seeing as we're all about the segues today.
Yeah, tight Leanne's children.
Tight waisted children. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, tomato, tomato. It was beautiful. I was skipping. I was doing a jump rope set when it happened, and I was doing double unders, and as you said it, I practically fell on my face. Like, the whole rope got tied up on me. I was falling over. It was hilarious.
Oh, God, I'm blushing again.
She is like, she's already great.
Yeah, moving on.
So I will say, though, that what I want to talk about today is actually what I'm doing in a video this week, and it's also, I wasn't sure if I should then do it this morning, but it was actually echoed by the conversation you just had about technology. And so let's start with a bit of premise. First of all, I'm a non-drinker. So one of the things is that when we go out, everybody gets to enjoy the parties and the fun things, and nobody has to worry because I'm always there as a designated driver.
Yeah.
I still have fun, but I know that I have fun, but I also have a role to play. And I'm completely and utterly okay with that. It makes perfect sense for me. Everybody else is out there. It's a drinking environment. Let them drink it all in, and then I'll drive them home. Now, with that in mind, I think we need to have some sort of that thinking when it comes to our phones to a degree, and I'll explain to you. So my daughter was, she trained hard enough, not lucky enough, to get into the Western Province rhythmic gymnastics team. And we're very proud of her. And last week she had her nationals in Johannesburg. And, you know, I've got this principle that I try and never miss anything that's important in my kid's life. I think that's a fairly good rule to live by. Yeah. So I took the day off. I flew up to Joburg, and I went to the gymnastics. I sat there the whole day. I was working. I was watching videos, doing things when all the other kids were on. But, of course, as soon as my daughter came on and I heard her name and I started watching, I turned off my videos and I immediately picked up my phone. And I realized that I did actually miss my daughter's gymnastics performance. Because what I did is I turned on the camera and I pointed my phone at my daughter and I watched all three of her routines through the lens of my phone. I watched her on my screen. I may as well have been home. Other than a show of moral support, for all I saw of my daughter, I may as well have been sitting at home. And my first thought, my kind of way of justifying this to myself at the end when I thought about it was, oh, well, you know, it's very important because Bailey wanted to have this captured for posterity and she wanted to see and, you know, I wanted to be able to have the video and that's amazing. However, then I realized there was 8 people there, right, that day from us, from our group, 8 people. And all 8 people were shooting Bailey's performance on their phones. The second she started, everyone lifted up their phone and everybody wanted to film. And what I realized, to go back to my designated driver, is we need a designated, I don't know, like a transcriber, right? Video, right. Whatever, yeah. Person. And we need a person, a designated recorder. And that designated recorder are maybe the 1 or 2 people least connected to the event. And those 2 people need to say, guys, you enjoy the event. I will record it for you. We'll take that job seriously. You just soak it all in. Drink it all up, so to speak. And at the end of the event, we'll jump onto WhatsApp and share it with you. But instead, we don't. Instead, we sit there and we think our job is to film them so that we can quickly share it on social media. Because heaven forbid, the distance between me recording the video and somebody sending it to me would be too long for me to upload it to social media. And I think it's a crime.
Yeah.
I think we need to understand that it is our attention that is required, not our attendance. And we need to become better at doing these things. And we need to be better at being present. So have a designated recorder and enjoy the moment.
That is so smart, Rich, because it is so simple, especially like with family engagements. You can generally have the one and you get that right at the very least. So try it with the family before you take it to a more sort of challenging social setting. But it's so true.
And there's that infamous picture of, or that photograph of a crowd. I've just had to look it up because I battled to remember exactly where it was. It was in 2015 during the Black Mass film premiere, where a photograph was taken of the crowd. All of them are watching what's happening through their phones. And there's one little old lady sitting with her head on her chin on her hands and just soaking it all in with no phone.
Amazing. And her memory will be more vivid and more beautiful because of it, because she wasn't distracted by a second tier purpose. You know, being a camera person is a job, and that job requires attention and thought around the job. And so I was there for me instead of being there for my daughter. And I just thought it was a, bit shitty when I kind of got home and settled with it. I thought I should have just been proud.
And also, just to state the obvious, a lot of people are really shit when it comes to capturing photos or videos. So you also got to ask yourself the question, I mean, if your phone's not good enough, which isn't the worst thing, but some people are just terrible at this kind of stuff, and what are they ever going to do with it? But they just feel duty bound.
Yeah, how many times do you actually sit and find yourself looking back at these videos? You don't.
But like music festivals, fireworks displays.
Music festivals, I mean, we watch a lot of concerts on the screen when we're there, because we're so far back.
Who film it, the sound is dreadful. Your camera can never depict who's actually really on the stage unless you're right in the front, and even then.
I think you have to go in with a strategy, right? If you decided, say, I went to see Rise Against in concert last year. That's my favorite band. And so I wanted to go in there, and I kind of decided I wanted to, my son's favorite song, Satellite, I wanted to send him a clip of that song. And so I went, and it started, and I recorded up to the first chorus, and then I put it away, and then I carried on having fun. But there was people there who were filming every instance of everything. And the key is to kind of have, I guess, some degree of a strategy and a reason for filming as well. And again, the other thing, just to the point of, you know, what happens, because we're not all great at recording. And so you could argue that this gives you a reason to keep recording, because maybe the designated recorder is bad. So what? So what?
Rich,
we just didn't get the video.
There's some fantastic food for thought there. We've got to get ways to be smarter with our phones. We've become so used to these new norms, like Leanne's story about people were buying things like likes for rand value on how they get they deem their fashion items necessary. Yeah,
it's crazy.
This is a slippery slope.
Yeah, bizarre, absolutely bizarre. Anyway, guys, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I guess if there's a message, you know, try be more attentional rather than present.
Very good point, Rich. Very good point. Have a great week.
All right, guys.
Catch you soon.
Thanks, Rich.
Bye.
Man, that guy's so smart. Kind of makes me angry.
Well, he's just frank about things that we should all just be paying more attention to.
Yeah, look, many people will defend their actions by saying, yeah, but I don't want to ask Steve for his stuff because then he's got my number. Or they'll find reasons. But we all have our own little circles, right? Like I said, try this with your family before you go any further. Everyone having to film is actually stupid. Rich is right again. I know we're all guilty of this in some way, shape, or form. Sure.
No, just realize there is no... I think it was a couple of months ago when I was intentional in trying not to do this anymore. Because I realized you go to a concert, you film, and I'll never watch it again. Even when I'm talking about how great it was to see Katy Perry, I'm talking to you, you know, and I'm so wrapped up in telling the story. I never go, check out this great footage. So, come on, you're just, you know, not really making the most of the experience. So it's very, very true.
Yeah. Well, Michelle wants to chime in on the whole attention to your phone thing. And it's good that we have these conversations. I mean, I must say, I think everyone's got a phone issue in their life, or they don't. Well, I don't know. Anyway, Michelle says, I have two phones, one for Cliff Central and podcast only, And then my everything phone. All notifications are off and always on silent. Nothing is that important to keep distracting me, Michelle.
Girl, that's a commitment and a half. Mm-hmm.
That's super smart here, Michelle. It really is. But then again, if you have... If you're dated... Like, Michelle's obviously got a very full life. I mean, we've known her on the show for quite some time. She does a lot of incredible things. She loves what she does professionally. So, yeah, she's got more happening in front of her. If you don't feel like you have enough happening in front of you in life and your phone is the biggest thing, then I can see the other side of the conversation. It's like your phone is your life, but then you got to ask other questions about yourself if that's the situation.
Mm.
Much to ponder, much to ponder. In the next hour, the worst guys. No, it's not that they're terrible, it's just that that's who they're known as.
That's just always the go-to, isn't it?
They are the worst guys.
Yeah. That's Mark and Rhea. They'll be, well, they were originally here in 2016, so we're going to replay this interview because it was a goodie. Of course, the worst guys were with us when we got completely off our face during Experience Friday Marijuana Day.
And we ended that off on a high.
Yeah.
We're done with Experience Friday.
Is that the official word now? Experience Friday is done.
Done, over, end of story, full stop, done.
Yeah, I'm still picking up the pieces after I'd lost my own way there. Mm. So you got that to look forward to in the next hour. Nolo and Sia are talking about other things. Is anything to talk? Did I leave anything out?
No, that's it.
It's very important. Mm-hmm. Leanne, are you with us the whole week?
Yes.
That is hugely exciting.
Yay.
Well, I must tell you, I did three mornings last week of the show, the Monday, the Thursday, and the Friday. And I slept the whole weekend. So it takes getting used to. It really does. I mean, I did it for 16 years, getting up at the crack of dawn.
But that's the thing. You never get used to it, and you never develop the stamina for it. No. And you can never just dip your toe back into it. It hurts, but we're here for you because...
It's kind of like, for me, it's like if you're wearing high heels at a wedding, you can't take them off.
Because Ben and I can absolutely relate.
You can't take them off, because if you take them off, when you put them on again, it's going to feel 10 times worse. That's what it's like stopping doing an early morning show and then coming back.
And especially after the weekend where you go, no, I can sleep in. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's fun.
Oh, I'm yawning already.
There you go.
Oh, no, don't set that off. No, let's take on Monday. We're ready. We're going
I'm excited for Monday. I'm excited for this week. Things. We'll be back tomorrow. Leanne's back as well. Is young Gordon joining us this week?
Possibly on Wednesday.
Was he here last week?
No, he wasn't. He had bronchitis.
Bronchitis.
Always Gareth would say, bronchospasms. Is Paul Gord sick again?
Overbeast. Overbeast.
Yeah, if you're overbeast, you don't have a tight waist.
So there's your takeout for today. Don't get obese, because obese leads to overbeast.
Yes.
And then you'll be another statistic, which is what this country is now famous for. Yeah, parents, exercise isn't the devil. I tell you what. A horrible way to finish the show.
Ben, it's fine. You can use that for your campaign next year as well.
Oh, yeah, my campaign. So, yeah, once I become financially independent, I probably am going to become a campaign person.
There we go.
Yeah, I'll get 7 votes. I've already got 3 in the studio today. You can vote for me too. But more importantly, download podcasts on cliffcentral.com. There's many, many to look forward to, many to enjoy. If you are listening live, you can catch the first episode of today, along with everything else, because that's what Nola's doing right now. She's hard at work cutting and editing and putting it all out. So you can start your Monday informed, entertained, and as always, we do it all again tomorrow. Cliffcentral.com.